my guess is that most of us would naturally react against this. The first was the discovery that the biggest problem was not amongst the children. The biggest problem was amongst the adults, especially adults who had graduated from high school in 1965 or after. Because the study showed that those who graduated from high school in 1965 or after had themselves grown up throughout all of their lives with televisions present and as a significant influence in their lives. They were the ones who particularly had pushed their children to increasingly watch television, claiming that it was a safe place for them to be and a safe thing for them to do. Amongst a number of misconceptions that were clarified by that study in New Jersey was the, again, somewhat surprising and contradictory to common belief, discovery that the amount of television that is watched by those who are well-educated and affluent is not, in fact, less than that which is watched by those that are less well-educated and less affluent. That in this New York City suburb, the average number of hours per day that a family watched television was exactly right on with the rest of the national average at 6 hours per day. Social observers have many times claimed that television really is not a shaper of society, but a reflection of society. In fact, just recently I read an article in which members of the television industry claim that all they are doing is reflecting back the standards and the mores of the American society in which they broadcast. But anyone who's a clever observer, an analyst, knows that both are true. Television does reflect the society in which we live, but at the same time, television is also a tremendously powerful shaper of our lives and the way we think and our attitudes, our purchases, and even our conversations. Maybe you don't know that studies show that television, at least as far as saturation of market and growth of market is concerned, recently peaked out. In fact, is actually, by small parts of a percentage point, in a decline, so that less people are watching television, at least a tiny fraction less as percentage of the American people, than were a year ago or 2 years ago. But just as that peak has come and passed, has arrived cable television. And with cable television is coming massive changes, some of which already have arrived in our society. We will see if futurologists are correct in what they're telling us. Options in the next 10 years where in our homes we will have the choice not of a half dozen stations and not even of 20 or 30 stations, as many cable programs now have, but perhaps of hundreds of stations. We'll have two-way communication, where from our television hookup, we will be able to respond back to whatever the television program is. We'll have classrooms that are in the family room instead of in the schoolhouse. We'll have the option of watching motion pictures that are now limited to XXX theaters in the downtown parts of our series, of our cities. The impact will increase and will go even far beyond our homes. In 1980, in the presidential election, even the people in the media were surprised at the impact of the swiftness and the clarity of predictions on presidential results. So much so that before many people made it to the polls in California, and certainly in Alaska and Hawaii, the networks had already declared that Ronald Reagan would be the next president of the United States. And so people began to wonder whether they ought to vote or not. And that cast a whole opportunity before our legislative branch to perhaps amend our Constitution or at least change the rules on when we vote and how we vote, because television has that great an impact on the way people think and the decisions that they make. When we get, if the predictions are correct, to the point where the majority of our homes will have a two-way communication possibility, then we might have the day come when a president of the United States speaks and gives a speech on domestic affairs or international foreign relations. And before he finishes his speech, he will have an attitude survey and response from 100 million people that will tell him that they like or dislike, agree or disagree with what he said, before he finishes even saying it, because that kind of a response will be able to come back that quickly. 100 years ago in our country, it took weeks for news information to get across the country, sometimes months and even years before the people of our nation could form an opinion. And yet, because of television and the future technology that's coming our way, it will be possible, in fact, I suppose already is technically possible, to have formed instant opinions that can be fed back to the source, the political branch of government, before even the speech is finished. Now, as Christians who live in a society that is greatly impacted by television, TV is certainly an issue to face, a major concern for all of us. Not necessarily in a negative way, but certainly in a significant way. What I'd like us to do tonight is think pretty seriously along some lines in response to some suggestions of what we can do as Christians, particularly as followers of Jesus Christ, believers in the Word of God, to respond to the issue of television in our homes, in our lives, and in our society. Suggestion number one is to realistically recognize the impact of TV on your life and your family. I mentioned before that the average American home has the television on, watched, and listened to for 6 hours a day. You total that up, it comes to 1/4, obviously, of all the time of the day, to 2,190 hours of the year, and if it were all put consecutively together, to 91 total days out of every year. The statisticians go wild with these kinds of things, have all kinds of fun. They've discovered that on that basis, between the ages of 6 and 18, the average American child will watch between 15 and 16,000 hours of television. That's between kindergarten and finishing the 12th grade, the senior year in high school. That compares to, that 15 or 16,000 hours, to 13,000 hours that will be spent in school between K and 12. Neil Postman, who is professor of communication at New York University, says that television molds the intelligence and character of youth far more than formal schooling. I hear lots of people who have strong opinions and comments on our public and private schools, and we can hear the issue argued sometimes warmly back and forth between the pros and cons of sending our children to Christian schools and public schools. But I don't know that I have ever heard much of an argument or much of a discussion about the impact that television has upon the same children for a greater extent of time and in a far more organized and perhaps a far more significant way than their time that they spend in school. The examples of impact, well, there are a lot, but let me just share one of them with you, and that relates to television commercials. In the first 20 years of a child's life, he will see approximately 1 million commercials on television. Now, this professor from NYU, Neil Postman, claims that commercials teach our children three things. They teach them, first of all, that all problems are resolvable. Second, that they are resolvable fast, like Alka-Seltzer. And third, that they are resolvable through technology or a drug or a detergent, or a piece of machinery, or an automobile. Postman then says, the essential message is that the problems that beset people, whether it is a lack of self-confidence or boredom or even money problems, are entirely solvable if only we will allow ourselves to be ministered to by a technology. I think that pretty much has permeated most of our lives. We want quick and ready answers when people really didn't think that way before the television generation. I think that we have succumbed to that within the Christian community. I think that I have from the pulpit. The assumption is that if you have a problem, here's a verse, look up this verse, memorize it, meditate on it, and whatever your problem is, it can probably be solved within 24 hours. And life just really isn't like that. Because the most difficult problems of all are ones that are not solved by simply learning a verse, or having an instant application, or taking a pill, or buying a machine, or driving a car, or taking a course, or any of the other options that are quickly offered by television in their commercials. Now, I think a typical answer to all of this is, yeah, well, I've heard all those statistics before, and it's kind of a heavy, but fortunately, it doesn't apply to me, because we really don't watch very much television in our house. We watch what we want, and it's not very much, and we could quit whenever we please. We're not like those people in Ridgewood, New Jersey, that would have a tough time shutting it off and going cold turkey. Well, is that really true? You know, often we have ideas about ourselves and the way we function that are very far from the reality of real life. Have you ever taken a log to see how many hours a day or how many hours a week you really do watch television? How much your children do? And how much of an influence it has upon your family? Have you ever tried to live without it? In being in places where television has not been available, or particularly in traveling overseas, where even if there is television, you can't understand what they have to say or can't listen on the radio, I'm surprised at how difficult it is for me to get through a day without finding out the news. I have this great fear that I will leave town for a few days and come back and it will be gone and I will not have known that that was going to happen. I will be caught totally by surprise. Have you ever tried to go for an extended period of time without that media input into your life, radio or television? Have you ever discussed as a family, most of us have, the impact that television has on us, kind of analyzed it, sat back and instead of watching a favorite program, talked about that favorite program and how it molds our lives? Have you ever thought about the way television impacts the decisions you make? Suppose that you're going to have company over and you're talking about dates when they could come for dinner and then you think, oh no, that's when Dallas is on. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get them out of the house before the program starts? Or have you ever had that thing where you say, why don't we have a late dinner, a little bit later than usual on Saturday night? You say, hey, that's a great idea. We haven't done that for a long time. That would be super. We could have fondue in front of the fireplace, and oh, it'll be great. And you think, no, wait a minute. In the fireplace. The fireplace is in the family room, and the television's in the basement, and Love Boat is on at 8. We'll have to have dinner earlier or later, but we can't have a conflict there because, well, we'd miss out on our special favorite program. Or what about church? If you ever miss church for, it's safe to say this in June, for a football game. Last year, Charlene and I were at the home of a church family. I need to take a quick look around and see whether they're here tonight. I think I'm safe on this. And in the course of a delightful dinner conversation, the hostess said, did you see 60 Minutes last week? You know, I wanted to be a gracious guest and not embarrass her in any way, and I took a long pause, and I knew I had to answer the question, and I said, no, I was in church last Sunday night. And have you ever seen a hostess turn green, not red, green, with embarrassment over what kind of a reaction to have? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians verses that are marvelously paraphrased by J.B. Phillips. It's in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. It really applies to this whole question of taking a log and analyzing what difference television makes in our lives. Paul wrote, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time, despite all the evils of these days. I think it's simple enough. The suggestion to realistically recognize the impact of TV on your life and family is saying be honest enough, realistic enough, to determine and evaluate how you're living and how you're using time and whether or not television is a plus or a minus in all that God wants to do in your personal life and in your family. Second suggestion of three is to control television rather than be controlled by television. When I was in high school, a friend of mine in a family that had not had a television, sort of the unusual people in the area, didn't have a television, but finally the father of the family succumbed to the pressure of the children and they bought a small portable black and white television. And everything went okay for a few weeks until one night my friend and his older brother, who at that time I think was in college, started watching the Late Late movie and fell asleep watching it and slept through the night then in the family living room. The father, who I want to carefully describe, is, I don't know what you think of as conservative, but move a notch to the right, and that kind of describes the way he dresses and lives in a very stately, religious, godly man. Came down early the next morning, around dawn, maybe a little bit more, for his morning devotions, which he would normally have in the family living room. And there, as he walked into the living room, he heard static, saw the test pattern on the television, and his high school and college-age son zonked out in the chair and on the floor. His reaction was unusual, if not bizarre. He awakened them, unplugged the television, made them walk with him. They live in a large piece of land. Walk with him across their lawn and to a barn on the other side of it. Stoked up the incinerator and took that television set like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw it into the fiery furnace until it exploded or imploded or whatever television sets do. Now, he impressed them. Let me tell you, he and I impressed them. He impressed the whole school and community and church, and everybody heard the story about what he had done. Now, that's one solution. You could get rid of your TV. You could say, well, it's not going to have control over me anymore. I'm going to have control over it. Many families have tried to get control, and they've done it by getting rid of their televisions. Maybe for some, that's the smartest way to go. There's some people that say, when a TV program comes along that I really want to see and really need to see, I'll rent the TV for a few days or for a few hours, or we'll go to a motel and we'll watch that special program, perhaps the space shuttle or whatever, and then we won't allow our lives to be controlled by the television, but we'll control what happens. Probably, though, for most of us, neither rental nor motel nor incinerator, you can't have incinerators anymore anyway, none of those seem like very good solutions to us. There must be easier ways, better ways. How can we get control? Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. We can get control by critically deciding in advance what we're going to watch. In other words, don't just watch television because it's there. Don't just turn it on without some predetermination of what you're going to see. Minneapolis newspaper has a lot of reviews of what's coming up in television. Has every day a critic's choice that says that this is what the reviewer says is a good thing to watch of all the choices that are available. Now, you may or may not agree with it, but at least read that review. At least get a TV guide or a listing from the newspaper or some source to find out what's going to go on, what it's about, and make some logical, sensible determination in advance, a critical choice. You can get control by limiting the amount of TV that you watch. Now, personally, confession is supposed to be good for the soul, so I will cleanse my soul here for a few minutes. Personally, I watch television for two reasons. One is for news, and the other is for entertainment. I don't watch television particularly to learn or to be educated. I don't watch television to find out what people's lives are like. I have enough experience otherwise with people that I don't see television for that purpose. I watch television, I suppose, an hour and a half, four or five different days a week. I have a pretty good handle on what I watch. I don't have any guilt trips over doing it. It meets my needs as far as finding out what's going on in the world and being entertained when I can put my mind in neutral and don't particularly have to think too much about what's going on before me. It's ordering of priorities. But that's what I'd suggest you do. Order priorities so you say, I'm going to watch TV so many days a week, or I'm going to watch TV so many hours, and put that limitation on in conjunction with that critical choice in advance. What can you do to get control of it? Well, another thing you can do is to watch television with your children. A lot of studies have been done on why different TV programs impact children the way they do. And the continued conclusion is that it is not so much what children watch, but the interpretation that they give to that which they watch. And that the interpretation will be radically different depending upon whether or not there is an adult present when that TV program is seen, or whether the children are alone. If parents are present, or any adults, I suppose, it's possible to give an interpretation saying, oh, isn't that silly? Or life really isn't like that. Or that isn't a very good way to resolve conflict, is it? Or, son or daughter, how does that fit in with what the Bible says? Or is that trick photography? Do you think that was a good way for him to respond? Or do you think that that was the worst possible thing that he could do? You see, control comes back to parents when they give the interpretation and when they see that as a teaching opportunity for those hours that together they watch television. How can you get control of it? Well, another thing that can be done is to do periodic thought checks. Pay attention to your thoughts. I'm smart enough to realize that probably most people are not going to log anything like this or go through anything very disciplined, but it probably would be worth doing. Recall your dreams. A counselor will many times ask a person, when did you first become depressed, if you're struggling with depression? And how have you spent your time lately? What did you do before you went to bed each of those nights when you couldn't sleep very well? And frankly, you may discover that the amount of television that you're watching and what you watch on television is a significant contributor to down moods and depression, irritability and hostility, because other people and other things through that medium, or I suppose it could be equally applied to another medium as well, are controlling thoughts in a negative and a counterproductive way. When TV is controlling us to that extent, rather than having the Holy Spirit of God control our thoughts, then it's time to either shut it off or march it across the lawn to the incinerator. Ephesians 5:18 is, to many Christians, one of the most familiar verses in Scripture. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the principle certainly carries over to television. It's the principle that anything that gets control of us other than the Holy Spirit of God is totally out of place, whether it be wine or whether it be another person or whether it be television or anything else. Now, I suspect that there are a lot of Christians I know that would be horrified at the thought of alcohol controlling their lives and the way they think and function, who have never even given a second thought to television having that same control over their lives rather than the Holy Spirit. If you'll allow me to paraphrase Ephesians 5:18, it would come out something like this. Do not be controlled by television, for such is debauchery or excess, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's two suggestions. Let me quickly now give you a third one, and that is a broader one, to help to shape the content of television programs. We all know that there are a lot of TV programs that are repulsive to biblical standards. Like many of you, I get all kinds of things in the mail that quote this TV program and that TV program and list the amount of profanity and the ideas that are given and the things that are shown and demonstrate how that really doesn't fit in with a Christian worldview and biblical standards. I recognize that, and I recognize the desires of many people to eliminate that from television. I also recognize something that I'm not sure that some of our friends on the far political right always can see in their religious political affirmations, and that is that we live in a sinful society. We live in a world that is never going to be brought into line with Christian ideals and Christian standards. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't seek to have an influence. We should. But we also need to realize that we are not going to bring in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that that's going to come at the return of Jesus Christ. And until then, we, like every other generation of Christians before us, are going to have to live and function and cope in a world that is tainted by sin, in a world where Satan has a tremendous influence. Now, if all that be the case, we at the same time need to recognize that we have a calling, according to Jesus in Matthew 5:13, that we be the salt of the earth. Salt has many functions, but particularly giving flavor and preserving against decay. So as salty Christians, we may not be able to bring in the kingdom, but we can give Christ-like flavor to our society, and we can curtail decay that is going on around us. What are some practical things that we can do? Well, for one thing, we can be selective in what we watch. If, in fact, there are 40 million evangelical Christians in the United States, what we shut off and what we turn on in television is going to impact the market and impact it to the extent of determining programming and spending of millions of dollars. The power of Christian viewers to affect TV programs in America is absolutely immense. if we communicate that we don't want to watch a program, that we won't subscribe to HBO, or we won't support some product because we don't agree with that and it's contrary to our beliefs and our convictions, then we are going to influence the market and influence what happens. What can we do? We can encourage a Christian perspective on TV. We can take these things that we're talking about here tonight. We can take the scripture references that have been mentioned and discuss it with other Christians. Make it a topic of conversation at the pie shop tonight after the service. No, don't go to the pie shop after the service tonight. We have a greet and eat. Sorry. Just forget that. Go downstairs. Cut that out of the tape, Nat. I don't want that on record. At the greet and eat tonight, when you're discussing things together, you talk about television and what impact it's going to have, but take it beyond here. Take it to other Christian conversations so that together we can have a Christian view of what we ought to do. We can also write letters. When a person writes a letter to a representative of the broadcast media, it's usually assumed that that letter represents the thoughts of hundreds, if not thousands, of other listeners and viewers. That means that we can have an impact that is far greater than our own numbers. I don't expect this to happen, but if it could happen, that every family represented here tonight were to write, say, a letter a week, within a year, within a few years, we could have an impact that would be equal to that of hundreds of thousands of American television viewers and listeners. If you do that, when you write, aim at sponsors, not just networks and individual television stations and programs. It's been shown to be highly effective that if you write to a sponsor and say you like or dislike a program, that will probably have more real change influence than anything else you can do. You can find out the address of that sponsor by calling the TV station and finding out the address, or calling the local library and the information service there and asking them to look it up for you. When you write, be both positive and negative. Don't just write letters that say, this was crummy and I don't like it and get it off the air, I won't buy your product anymore. Balance that out and find programs that are good and productive and helpful, ones that ought to be increased in the television log, and write letters to those sponsors and to that network and that television station and say, this is right on, let's have some more of that. And especially address the issue of perspective on Christians and Christian virtues. Now, for a moment here, let me have the thoughts of those of you that are a little more conceptual and philosophic in your thinking. I'm not talking here just about an occasional profanity in a television show. I'm talking here about what I think is even a greater concern, and that is that in most television programs that we see, biblical Christianity, the church, pastors, people of faith, are presented in a negative and a hostile way rather than in a positive and productive way. Now you think about it. In the majority of television programs that you see where religion is presented, it's presented as a bizarre cult, like the Jim Jones thing in Guyana, South America. Or it's a picture of an immoral pastor and the impact that he has upon his community in a negative way. Or it's a religious fanatic who is tearing up his family by his religious convictions and ways. Public Opinion is a magazine that recently published the results of research that was done by two men, S. Robert Lichter and Stanley Rothman. They spent 1 hour each with 240 of what they called the media elite. Now, these were producers, directors, reporters, editors, columnists, network TV correspondents, film editors, people like that. The people that really are the influential ones in controlling what comes on television. Here's what they discovered. That of these 240, 8% of them, only 8% of them, attend church regularly. And 86% of them say that they seldom or never attend church. Now, that leads me to believe that the people that control the media really don't know anything about biblical Christianity. And when they present biblical Christianity in a negative way, it's because they don't know any better, because they haven't been exposed to Christians who walk with Jesus Christ and churches that are alive in the Holy Spirit. And that's why they have presented a distorted, what I think is a terribly distorted view. Altogether, that means that through our letters, we can communicate another perspective, and we can encourage the airing of a biblical Christianity that will encourage people and create an atmosphere where people can come to Jesus Christ. Well, let me run by those suggestions again. Realistically recognize the impact of TV on your life and in your family. Control television rather than being controlled by it, and help to shape the content of TV programs. All of that, I'm sure, seems like a lot of heavy ideas and suggestions that have been laid on you tonight. Maybe you prefer the perspective instead of the deep philosophy of the Peanuts gang. Lucy said, instead of watching TV, you should be reading a book. Instead of watching TV, you should be straightening up your room. Instead of watching TV, you could be even outside playing. Charlie Brown said, there's a lot more to life than not watching TV. And now a word from our sponsor.